Would you be surprised to learn a wombat received the Outstanding Statistical Application Award, the Statistics and Physical Engineering Sciences Award, both from the American Statistical Association, and the Mitchell Prize from the International Society for Bayesian Analysis last year? Well, maybe not such a surprise if you learned that wombat is the Wollongong methodology for Bayesian assimilation of trace gases. And they're working on a framework for estimating carbon dioxide, CO2, sources, and sinks, or flux as well, at the Earth's surface on a global scale. Today's episode of Stats and Short Stories will feature a conversation about why understanding CO2 sources and sinks matter for evaluating global climate change. I'm John Baylor. Stats and Stories is a production of Miami University's Departments of Statistics and Media, Journalism, and Film, as well as the American Statistical Association. Rosemary Pennington, Professor of Journalism, is away. Our guest is Noel Cressy, Distinguished Professor at University of Wollongong, Australia, and Director of its Center for Environmental Informatics, an interdisciplinary group doing research in spatiotemporal statistics, satellite remote sensing, and broader fields of environmental science. He's also an adjunct professor at the University of Missouri and an affiliate at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab in the U.S. His recent research involves hunting for atmospheric carbon dioxide sources around the world and focusing on Antarctica's environmental future. Noel, first, congratulations on your team receiving this outstanding affirmation of the work that you're doing. Can you tell us a little bit about wombats?
Yeah, thanks, John. Really good to be here and to be talking about my favorite Australian animal. It's a cute little cube-shaped animal with a furry nose, and it has a pouch, but it has a reverse pouch because it does a lot of digging and burrowing. And if the pouch faced forward, there would be a lot of dirt in the pouch and the baby would actually be spitting out dirt all the time. So back to wombat, our wombat, the Wollongong methodology that we developed, it really started when a colleague of mine, Andrew Zamit Manjon, came as a postdoc to the University of Wollongong in 2014. And we're talking about all sorts of things. He was my postdoc, and we got involved in a lot of spatial statistics. And at some point, over a cup of coffee, I think we said we were both interested in what we call flux inversion. Now, flux inversion is to try to work out where the carbon dioxide comes from at Earth's surface. All you can measure, though, is the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So what you have is an instrument, like the Orbiting Carbon Observatory 2 instrument from NASA. You have that instrument that's measuring the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere from a height of 700 kilometers. And what you want to do is trace those carbon molecules back to where they come from at Earth's surface. And they come from photosynthesis of trees, and they come from respiration. You know, when the trees die off, then carbon dioxide is actually released, and that's the source. And of course, the photosynthesis is a sink when they're taken in. And so there's something called a carbon cycle. And that carbon cycle in the atmosphere is what we need to understand in order to mitigate climate change. And there is this satellite I referred to called the Orbiting Carbon Observatory 2 satellite, of which I'm a team member, and now most of my team are part of that membership as well. So Andrew and I, having this cup of coffee, we're both interested in flux inversion, and we both agree that it's an impossible problem that can be made possible by being a Bayesian. And so what a Bayesian does is actually put a prior distribution on what this transport might be like that takes the flux forward into the atmosphere, and we want to invert that transport and take it back to where it actually came from. And we do it globally over a period of time on the order of 6 years was the actual paper that won the award. We did it over 6 years.
So when you were building these kinds of models, did you do it for sort of a window of time and then use it to predict into the future? What are some of the things that you did in terms of validation of this?
Right. So we started out with something called an OSSI. And that's not an Aussie, like from Australia. That's an OSSI, which is an Observing System Simulation Experiment. And so we validated by actually building, if you like, a digital twin in a computer that was satellite moving over, there's the computer generating satellite sampling concentration. But where we knew what the flux was that was being output, you know, from Earth's surface. So we knew the answer. And so in that OSSI, we generated data that would look like what a satellite would retrieve. And we did the flux inversion, we used the Bayesian methods, and we looked at the accuracy and validity of what we obtained. And we didn't get the answer right the first time. There was a lot of dials to turn, as you can imagine. It's a fully global system over a period of, actually, the whole carbon cycle works in a period of 20 minutes in terms of the actual transport. And so there's a certain amount of aggregation to do spatially and temporally. And we worked out the units of that. And we built something called a BATU, a basic aerial temporal unit. And we worked within those BATUs to come up with the flux inversion.
So after doing all this, what are some of the insights that you've gained about CO2 production sources and sinks?
First of all, when we actually ran Wombat, we got rid of the fossil fuel component. And that is a huge component, and that tends to dominate. So we were interested in the natural carbon cycles, and we were interested in whether those carbon cycles were changing or not. I might sort of make a call out to a postdoc who joined us on this research, which was supported by the Australian Research Council. His name is Michael Bertolacci, and the three of us, Andrew, Michael, and I, you know, represent the core statistics team. We had interdisciplinary input from atmospheric chemistry and from IT support and various other places. So basically, what did we learn? Well, in the work with Andrew and Michael, we're learning that the cycle is changing, that in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, the onset of the photosynthesis that is causing the carbon dioxide to be absorbed into Earth's surface is moving by the order of 1 or 2 days. Now, that might not seem a lot, but that phase change is actually significant, if I could put it that way in the broad sense of the term. It is real from a signal processing point of view, and the Bayesian inversion that we get gives us those prediction intervals that tell us that the carbon cycle is changing because of the excess carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
That's a pretty scary result. And, you know, so do you have any, will these models make it possible also to think about if we change certain characteristics of the carbon production, how that might change ultimately the models? Could the model be used to help predict changes given interventions?
Yes, so currently we're not doing any forecasting. But what the model does is it allows us to then make conjectures or hypothesis generation of what might be causing these changes. Unfortunately, that particular data set that we have from the Orbiting Carbon Observatory does not do polar regions very well. And that's because the satellite doesn't have a good enough signal to noise ratio to do the retrieval. But generally speaking, there's now moves afoot because we believe that there's going to be a lot of outgassing of carbon dioxide in the polar regions, both methane and carbon dioxide coming from, you know, permafrost melting. And so, you know, there's this evolution of science, if you like. We're seeing some of these things happening in the northern latitudes, and there's an attempt now by NASA to come up with retrieval mechanisms that would allow them to get sort of better information in the polar regions.
Oh, this is fascinating work. Well, but I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this episode of Stats and Short Stories, Noel. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for this excellent work.
Thank you, John, and signing off on behalf of the Wombat team.
Welcome. Stats and Stories is a partnership between Miami University's Departments of Statistics and Media Journalism and Film and the American Statistical Association. You can follow us on Twitter, Apple Podcasts, or other places where you can find podcasts. If you'd like to share your thoughts on our program, send your email to statsandstories@miamioh.edu or check us out at statsandstories.net. And be sure to listen for future editions of Stats and Stories, where we discuss the statistics behind the stories and the stories behind the statistics.